Good evening, friends. The waters of this campaign have been considerably muddied by irresponsible charges of communism. Once and for all, I am not a communist. I have never been a communist. I only mention this misrepresentation of facts because of the very real danger inherent in our national pastime of irresponsible name-calling. I propose tonight to discuss democracy, the kind of democracy my forefathers helped to establish on this great continent. I'm jealous for democracy. I don't like to see the things that democracy can accomplish credited to communism. Through the years, democracy has given our people more freedom and a higher standard of living than any other system that we know. And it's done so with less inequity, less persecution, less infringement on the rights of free thinking, free speech, and free action than any other form of government. I'm jealous for the school system we built under democracy. And I don't want to see its extension, including fair salaries for teachers, day nurseries, school lunch programs, and federal aid to education called communism. I'm jealous for our democratic institutions that achieve a high level of employment. And I don't want to see measures for increasing that employment called communism. I'm jealous for my belief, and the belief of millions of other Americans, that in our democracy, the government is the servant of the people, and that as the servant of the people, it will protect the people, all of us, Protestant, Catholic, Jew, Gentile, black, white, brown, or olive. And I don't like to have that belief, the very cornerstone of our greatness, disavowed and called communistic. I'm jealous for that greatest of all our institutions, the American home, and I pay my disrespects to those short-sighted individuals who have called our housing program for returning veterans communistic. I don't think we value democracy highly enough. The great mass of American people will never exchange democracy for communism as long as democracy fulfills its promise. The best way to keep communism out of our country is to keep democracy in it, to keep constantly before our eyes and minds the achievements and the goals which we, a free people, have accomplished and intend to accomplish under our own democratic system. I believe now, and I shall always believe, that this government of the people is capable of self-growth, is capable of making whatever adjustments are needed in a world that's changed so vastly since the days when my great-great-grandfather, the Reverend William Harrison Gehagan, helped found the city of Dayton, Ohio. I have a respect that amounts to reverence for our kind of government, and for the Congress of the United States, of which I'm privileged to be a member. As a member of the Congress, the greatest of all possible trusts has been given to me, a trust to protect the liberties of the people, all the people, and fulfill their hopes. It is as a representative of the people, a democratic people, who believe in the principles and future of democracy that I speak to you tonight. I'm not a student of communism. I've never been to Russia. But I think we do a disservice to democracy when we dismiss communism as the devil's handiwork. Of course there's competition between democracy and communism in the world today. However, there's no doubt in my mind that the result of this competition will continue to be the triumph of democracy if we spend our energy and genius in demonstrating to the world what democracy can really do. Communism was born of hunger and illiteracy that prevailed in the Russia of the Tsar. It has no place in our society. We have something better. We have democracy. Communistic methods are foreign to ours. Their policies are handed down from the top, and you take them from the top, whether you like them or not. The Soviets have never developed certain rights which to us are fundamental. The civil rights we cherish, the political rights we so boisterously and vigorously enjoy. They've sacrificed the competitive free enterprise system we believe in. Communism is the receiver which takes over when bankruptcy takes place. And it's our job not only to see that bankruptcy never takes place here, but that through democratic processes, the welfare and security of the people increase day by day. The fear of communism in this country isn't rational. And that rational fear of communism is being deliberately used in many quarters to blind us to our real problems. The spreading of this fear is in itself propaganda for communism. I'm nauseated and sick to death of the vicious and deliberate way the word communist has been forged into a weapon and used against those who organize and raise their voices in defense of democratic ideals. Of hearing the very program of Franklin Roosevelt, for which the majority of the American people voted in four successive elections, called communistic. It is designedly called communistic by those who seek to defeat the will of the American people. Communism could successfully invade only a fearful and weakened democracy. Will you all remember that? A vigorous democracy. A democracy in which there is really freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech would never succumb to communism. Our fight is not against the windmill of communism in America. Rather, it is against those who would make a treadmill of democracy through special privilege, bigotry, and intolerance. Those who serve democracy and the future of democracy best are those who believe that full employment and fair employment practices can be achieved under our free enterprise system. Nobody believes, I don't think, in free enterprise or its future more than I do. I've had all the benefits of this free enterprise system. I was bred in a family that handed down its business from father to son, a family that believed and believes today that individual initiative is the source of our economic vitality. I've had every advantage and every opportunity that a child born in that kind of family would have. I've never been on the breadline. I've never had to live on a ditch bank. I'm not one of the millions who have never known a doctor's care. I don't belong to a minority. At least, I don't think the Irish are considered a minority in America anymore. But I've been to the slums and the Hoovervilles of America. I've seen children with sore eyes and swollen bellies. And I've looked deep into the despairing eyes of fathers and mothers without jobs or hope of jobs. I've seen minorities humiliated and denied full citizenship. And I tell you, we betray the basic principle upon which this government was founded unless democracy finds a way by which all the people can live out their lives in dignity and decency. I know there is a way. I believe in the free enterprise system, real free enterprise, free for all. It's a good thing to own your own business, your own farm. The problem that confronts us is that not enough people own their own businesses and their own farms. The test again and again is whether we side with the great monopolies or with the people. The great monopolies are suffocating free enterprise. And if not halted in their growth, will in the end destroy not only their own dynasties, but democracy itself. Monopolies didn't build America. It wasn't monopoly which built our great industrial economy. It was competitive enterprises which later too often were strangled by forces of monopoly. Monopoly through cartels contributed seriously to our industrial unpreparedness for war by restricting the production and distribution of such vital materials as magnesium, synthetic rubber, aviation gasoline, and electrical equipment. Monopoly to exist must dominate. It must crush out competition. Necessarily, it is ruthless and must dominate the spiritual and economic lives of those it controls. Democracy cannot long survive when people permit their lives to be dominated economically, spiritually, or politically by a powerful few. To make democracy work, we must recognize all of its real enemies. One of its real enemies is monopoly. Yet another one, and one of the most dangerous, is intolerance, born of fear and loss of faith in America. Intolerance which poisons the sweet air of liberty. One of the great privileges of democracy is the privilege to make mistakes, the privilege to say foolish things, the privilege to expound ideas with which others violently disagree. The privilege to say them without being tracked down and labeled as subversive. The privilege to criticize our representatives, for instance, mercilessly. whoever they may be. And next to the secret ballot, the greatest privilege of all is the right to organize and defeat or elect candidates to public office. The whole history of American politics is the history of vigorous and often violent disagreements. This is the only nation in the world that can afford the luxury of such violent disagreement. There's no danger, you see, in letting people have their say. We've proved that. There's only danger when you try to stop them from saying it. To be sure, there are communists in America. There are a few people in America who believe in the free enterprise system has run its course. Democracy entitles them to hold that belief, or any other belief they choose. But if we succeed in the practice of democracy, communism will never take over, as some faint-hearted but loud-mouthed have proclaimed. We cannot fail if we carry forward into the future the principles which have made America great, the principles which guarantee us freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom of equal opportunity, and the right to equal justice under the law, whatever the outcome of this election. Whatever it may be, with God's blessing, I pray that we will find the way to peace and increased well-being for our people and for all the people of this earth, and that we will find it together.